Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, May 26th, Pope Francis is set to lead a rosary for peace in Ukraine, and an interreligious group visits Kyiv to pray for the war-torn nation. The Pope urges the Church in Latin America to embrace synodality and communion, and German Catholics gather in Stuttgart to celebrate their faith and join their voices on challenges facing the world. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. The Vatican announced today that Pope Francis will join Marian shrines at the end of the month to lead a rosary for peace. The Pope will pray with Catholics around the world for peace in Ukraine and for an end to all wars causing untold suffering in various parts of the globe. The rosary will take place on May 31st at the Basilica of St. Mary Major and can be followed by the faithful worldwide. Deborah Castellana-Lubov reports.
Pope Francis will lead a rosary for peace as a sign of hope for those suffering from the war in Ukraine and for an end to wars worldwide. This was announced this Ascension Thursday in a statement of the Pontifical Council for Promoting the New Evangelization. At the conclusion of the Marian month, Pope Francis wishes to offer this sign of hope to the world. On the 31st of May at 6 p.m., the Pope will pray the rosary before the statue of Maria Regina Pacis, or Mary, Queen of Peace, in Rome's Marian Basilica. All the faithful in every part of the world are invited to support Pope Francis in his prayer. The Pope will lay a wreath of flowers at the feet of the statue before addressing his prayer to Our Lady and leaving his particular intention. Pope Benedict XV in 1918 had commissioned the statue to implore the Blessed Mother for an end to the First World War. It is traditional at this statue for faithful to lay small handwritten notes with prayer intentions at the feet of the Virgin. At the Rosary, families from the Ukrainian community of Rome will be among the various categories of people representing the people of God present to support the Pope's prayer. As a sign of closeness to those closest to the tragic events, a Ukrainian family, relatives of war victims, and a group of military chaplains were invited to pray the decades of the Rosary. Shrines from all over the world, together with some located in countries still affected by war or with strong political instability within them, will pray the Rosary at the same time as the Holy Father. They will be connected via streaming to the live broadcast from Rome. The Rosary can be followed on Vatican media and all its social platforms. This gesture follows Pope Francis's consecration of all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in March on the Feast of the Annunciation. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Staying with Ukraine, dozens of faith leaders from various religions traveled to the capital of Kyiv this week to pray together for peace in the war-torn nation. The high-level interreligious delegation came at the invitation of Kyiv's mayor Vitaly Klitschko 3 months after Russia invaded its neighbor. Sister Sheila Kinsey, who took part in the Pilgrimage of Peace, told Svetlana Dukovich that Ukrainians are countering the danger they face each day with extreme care for the well-being of their neighbor.
It's an interreligious delegation of religious leaders, and the purpose is for prayer and solidarity. So we've gone to different places and we prayed for and with the Ukrainians. And then we have been to different sites, like visiting Impera, which is where the Caritas International is providing food and shelter. And then, you know, meeting the people there. And then we also went to a church nearby, the Orthodox Church, where we saw their bombing was near that. So we visited different places to get a sense of what the people are dealing with. One of the excruciating things was walking in their cultural center and walking on the glass and seeing that area was bombed. You could see, you know, an idea to take away their heritage and where you dream from your cultures. So it was like pockets, like a neighborhood or the bridge or something where the bombing would take place, is kind of an intimidation. So it's to be, as Pope Francis says, it's not about gathering information, but going where the situation is and finding what we can do about it. So a lot of listening and praying and talking has been important for us.
So you think it's important to go there and to pray there, not elsewhere?
For us to get that a sense, and we really want to have more delegations come. And it's really touching to see how appreciative they are that we are here with them. coming that journey. And we look at what the mayor was asking us to bring in the spiritual dimension and being at missions of peace. And so that's what they were counting on us doing, and we've been trying to be that. What was also just so moving is how kind they are to one another. They just speak the truth about what's happened, but they are very solicitous of the well-being of each other. Even when you talk to them, you can see the tenderness of which they are with one another.
That was Sister Sheila Kinsey speaking there to Svetlana Dukovic. Pope Francis today sent a video message to participants in the plenary assembly of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America. The Pope reflected on the meaning of synodality and communion, insisting that both are necessary as the Church continues along the synodal journey. Christopher Wells has the story.
For some time, synodality has been taking root in the Church in Latin America, the Pope said, as it has embraced a correct interpretation of the teachings of the Second Vatican Council that implies learning anew how to walk together in the face of epochal changes in society. At the same time, Pope Francis said in his video message to the Pontifical Commission for Latin America, we have to be aware of our limitations in order to be able to mature and bear evangelical fruit on this synodal path. In his address, the Holy Father highlighted the two themes of synodality and communion, which must both be present in the synodal process. Synodality, he said, must lead us to live more intensely our ecclesial communion, in which the diversity of charisms, vocations, and ministries are harmoniously integrated, animated by the same baptism, which makes us all sons and daughters in the Son. Pope Francis emphasized that synodality involves the primary role of the Holy Spirit as the protagonist of the process, and he insisted on the need to be open to the surprising and innovative movement of the Spirit. If we are able to receive this gift, he said, our lives will become a constant service to others. Synodality also involves communion with the body of Christ, Pope Francis said. This communion is a sign and instrumental cause of a relational dynamism that shapes the Church and prevents synodality from becoming mere a parliamentarianism or populism. Pope Francis went on to consider the role of the Pontifical Commission, which he described as a diaconia, a ministry of service aimed at showing the affection and attention that the Pope has for Latin America. Pope Francis concluded his address by reminding his listeners of the Commission's duty to promote true synodality as widely as possible. I'm Christopher Wells.
Pope Francis today also highlighted the importance of storytelling in his contribution to a new book entitled The Weaving of the World, released today by the Vatican Publishing House. The Holy Father says the art of storytelling is like weaving a fabric with unbreakable threads that link the past and present, everything and everyone. Father Benedict Mayaki has the story.
Pope Francis has penned the afterword to La Tessitura del Mondo, in English, The Weaving of the World, a publication that gathers the reflections of about 44 writers, artists, theologians, and journalists on the theme of storytelling as a way towards salvation. The book, edited by Andrea Monda, the director of the Osservatorio Romano, is published by the Vatican Publishing House and Salani Publications. Pope Francis notes that storytelling creates a fabric made of unbreakable cords that connects everything and everyone and allows us to open up to the future with feelings of trust and hope. He adds that this fabric was at the heart of his message for the 2020 World Day of Communications, which inspired the reflections from the different writers gathered in the publication. The Pope goes on to highlight three recurring themes: the telling of stories as weaving, mystery concealed with a hint of silence, and compassion. The Pope notes that weaving is an aspect on which many authors focus, including some which emphasize the role of women and others which highlight the pliability of the weaving of the stories. The theme of mystery, the Pope continues, is seen as a sense of limits but also as magic that intervenes in the moment of poetic inspiration. The third aspect, compassion, is one of the three characteristics of the style of God, including closeness and tenderness, the Pope said. He added that compassion cannot be reduced to an inner intimate aspect because it also possesses an evidently public social dimension. In this regard, he gives the example of the Good Samaritan in the Gospel of Luke, who had compassion on the wounded man and offered him care and healing. The Holy Father goes on to describe the political dimension of the publication, noting the words of Colum McCann, who sees storytelling as one of the most powerful means we have for changing our world, which transcends borders, shatters stereotypes, and gives us access to the full flowering of the human heart. Concluding his remarks on the publication, the Pope said that the art of storytelling builds bridges that can connect the living and the dead to guide us across centuries and generations towards a future to be built and to be woven together. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Pope Francis has expressed his deep sadness over the tragic shooting that took place at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde in the U.S. state of Texas. The Pope sent a telegram on Wednesday evening to Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller of San Antonio and assured those affected by this attack of his spiritual closeness. He also joined the entire community in commending the souls of the 19 children and two teachers who were killed by a teenage gunman to God's loving mercy. The Pope implored the divine gifts of healing and consolation upon the injured and bereaved. On Tuesday, an 18-year-old gunman entered Robb Elementary School in the West Texas town of Uvalde. He shot and killed 19 children under the age of 10 and two teachers before police killed the gunman. And finally, large numbers of German Catholics are gathered in the city of Stuttgart this week for the 102nd edition of the Katholikentag, or Catholic Convention. The five-day celebration marks a unique tradition in Germany and beyond, dating back more than 170 years. The Secretary General of the German Lay Committee, Mark Frings, spoke to Vatican Radio's Gudrun Seiler to shed some light on this festival.
Historically speaking, the lay people in Germany always wanted to penetrate the public arena with own political convictions, ideas, concepts. And this is where the Katholikentag movement comes from. And our self-proclaimed understanding until today is that we do not limit ourselves to church-related debates, but that we want to change the world and our surroundings accordingly. And hence we translate our faith into action, and the Katholikentag is maybe the most visible tool that we use for this. We, as the Central Committee of German Catholics, also do political lobby work in Berlin. This is where also our office is based. But it's important that we do not only discuss church-related issues, but that we discuss, for example, climate change, post-colonialism, the war in Ukraine, the post-war situation in Afghanistan, so global topics as well as social dimensions. Debates that take place only in Germany, this is something where we want to give in our opinions, and I think this is the very added value of the work of the Central Committee of German Catholics here in Germany.
And what significance does the Katholikentag have in the faith life of Germans today?
It's still very important, definitely, especially for those who are organized in associations, in unions, who play a significant role in everyday life of Catholic Church. But we also have to face changing patterns. The majority of people living in Germany do not belong any longer to one of the two big churches in Germany. So it means that we also have to adapt to a new reality, that we have to defend and explain better what we are doing, why we are doing it.
In what sense the Katholikentag could be considered also a faith event?
This is definitely a very important pillar of every Katholikentag. Every Catholic convention also consists of many worships, big celebrations that will take place publicly. We want to show our faith and our belief. And all of this takes place out of the usual boundaries.
That was Mark Frings, the Secretary General of the German Lay Committee, speaking there to Gudrun Seiler. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, go to our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page and Twitter feed. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.